remember crying out to him, like, what am I doing wrong? I couldn't figure it out. I almost felt like it was the same feeling I had before I knew him. I was like, where are you? Mm-hmm. And then I realized he didn't move. I was the one that wasn't being obedient to what he says. And again, our pastor at our church always says, if you can't hear God's voice, go back to the last thing that he said to you. And so Pastor Nick had said that at a church service, mm-hmm. and I realized that it's because I wasn't being obedient is why he stopped speaking to me. So not only was I hearing his voice, but then I also felt what it was like to not hear his voice again. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, I don't want this. Like, oh my gosh.
Welcome to Along the Way. I'm John Matarazzo, your host and fellow traveler. Thank you for joining me along my way as I try to become more like Jesus every day. I've had a Facebook account since 2008, I think. I know my way around a few social media platforms, but I've always thought of it more as a tool to post pictures and keep in touch with friends. In this Along the Way conversation, I'm joined by a friend of mine from church who also happens to be an influencer on Instagram. She has well over 50,000 followers on her account. But in the social media world that is often known for being fake and full of only people's highlights, she makes sure that she is always real, sharing her ups and her downs, even if there might be a fun filter every once in a while. I wanted to share Maria Armstrong's journey because she has been using her platform to be a positive influence in the lives of her online community. And I have even met some of the people whose lives have been positively affected because Maria was real and available online. I'll get to our conversation in just a moment, but I want to thank you for listening to Along the Way. I hope that you like what you hear and you subscribe. You can connect with me online as well. All of my socials and contact links are in the show notes. You can also check out all of my episodes at my website, alongtheway.media. I would love to hear from you and where you are listening from. And now, here's my Along the Way conversation with Maria Armstrong. Maria Armstrong, welcome to Along the Way. Thank you for allowing me to talk with you and to hear your story of how God has met you along your way.
Of course. It's an honor.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Very cool. Well, Maria, you have been coming to the same church as me, which is now called Bridge City Church. It was Word and Worship a couple years ago. You didn't grow up in this church.
I didn't.
I want to talk about how you came to church and what your life was like before that. But your life personally has been radically changed through meeting Jesus.
Yes.
I'll let you kind of explain all that. But the reason that I really wanted to feature you on this Along the Way podcast was because you are an influencer. And when people think of influencers on Instagram and social media and stuff, people like Kylie Jenner, Kim Kardashian, they come to mind, okay?
Yes.
And they're selling people's products and all kinds of other stuff. And you just kind of look at them and you think, that's ridiculous. Like, but you're using your influence to help people's lives, not just to sell things.
Yes.
You're using your influence for the kingdom of God. And you have some really cool stories that I want to talk about. And so Maria, would you just please tell me a little bit about your life and how God brought you on the journey that you're at right now?
Definitely. I would love to. I didn't grow up in the church. I grew up going to Catholic church on Christmas and Easter. Mm-hmm. My grandparents are devout Catholics, and so is my mom. It never really like spoke to me. I never really met God. I didn't know you could have a relationship with Jesus.
It was just something that you did a couple times a year.
Yeah, it was just tradition. We went here and there. And growing up, I remember I was probably 8 or 9, and the woman who was singing in the choir, I just remember how beautiful she was and how beautiful her voice was. And I just remember thinking like, oh, wow, I want to do that. That would be cool. Mm-hmm. And so I approached a member of the Catholic church that I attended when I was younger. And they basically told me like that wasn't possible for me to do that. So I got hurt by the church a few times growing up. I don't want to blame the rest of my story and my rebellion on that. But I just didn't really relate, I guess, is the thing, to anything that was inside of what I pictured as the church.
Sure.
So basically growing up, I just went on Christmas and Easter just to do it. Then something happened in the church that I will keep private that made me stop altogether going. From there, I tried to find purpose in substance abuse and relationships, media, things like that. So I got super lost. I had a lot of toxic relationships, a large amount of toxic relationships, where, you know, I tried to fix people. I tried to give the men in my life the benefit of the doubt. And I just really, really, really lost myself, really lost myself. And I'm a recovering people pleaser as well. So basically just did everything that everyone wanted me to do. I became someone who everyone wanted me to be, basically. And I didn't know who I was. I didn't know why I was on this earth. And, you know, that kind of spiraled me into more of substance abuse, basically. Yeah, I was 19. I went to school for special effects makeup.
When you say special effects makeup, what does that mean?
So, like, movie makeup, basically. Okay. Sculpting, mold making, blood, gore effects, all that stuff.
So, like, horror movies.
Essentially.
Tom Savini's?
Yes, it was Tom Savini's school. During that, I wasn't aware of spirits, or I had no relationship with God whatsoever. I mean, it was the darkest time of my life. I was surrounding myself with horror and demonic things. I lived in the basement of a mortuary. That's where me and my roommate lived. There was no windows. There was a drain in the middle of the floor, and it went like this from the, you know.
Right.
So it's a very dark time in my life. And while I was in school, you know, there was one night we had a party the night before. I didn't even know where my phone was. I was very, you know, I was drunk and messed up on a lot of things. And my aunt came and banged on the door. Didn't know why. I opened the door. It was my aunt. And, you know, there's drugs all over the place and stuff. And she was like, "Your dad is having a stroke. Like, we need to go." So that was like when my life changed forever. He's alive and he's okay. He has mobility and speech issues. But that's basically when my life changed, and I didn't know it. It's like,
it was a reality check then, huh?
Big time. Yeah. Big time for him as well. So yeah, when I was in school and everything, I wasn't aware. I didn't have a relationship with God or anything. And then that happened. So after my dad had his stroke, I was what I did picture being God. I was mad at him.
Yeah.
How could you do this to someone? So my dad is just the best man ever. He's such a man of God, and he's just such a good guy. So I was really mad, and I was very, very angry with whatever I pictured God being at the time. So basically, my dad had his stroke, and all that happened. We can jump forward a couple years, because I was just so lost. I didn't know who I was. I had no faith in anything. I mean, my dad had a stroke, and I had to watch him recover from that and everything, and I just was really, really, really lost. So I moved back in with my parents to help out. And then once he got kind of back on his feet and everything, a couple years later, I moved back out on my own again. Living alone this time, because this was the first time I actually was living alone. Before, when I moved out, I was with roommates. But this time when I was living alone, this was another, like, immensely dark place in my life. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. Going back there in my mind
makes you grateful for where you are today.
Grateful.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So basically, I was lost. I didn't know who I was, didn't know anything about where I wanted to go. I lost my job. I broke up with a very, very toxic relationship. I broke up with the man that I was dating, and I lost my job within the same week. Oh, and wow. It was the winter time, so it was just dark and gloomy, and it was just terrible.
Yeah.
So that's when December rolls around, Christmas time, 2015. I'll never forget it. My two friends, Lindy and Vinny Candler, invited me to Bridge City Church, and I went and experienced the candlelight service. I was never the same again. I just remember the way I felt. I remember Jesus just, like, knocking at my heart door. And I didn't accept him into my life that time, but I definitely went back. I was like, this is church. Like, this is awesome. Yeah. This is what you guys do. There was people worshiping, their hands were raised, people were crying, people were there for each other, people were praying for each other. And I had just never seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
And it was so, I mean, at first it was like a little weird. I was like, why are these people's hands raised?
Yeah.
But it was still really cool and moving to me. And like,
right.
Oh, these people are worshiping God. Like, I like this.
They must know a different God than I do, huh?
Yeah, they must. And, you know, I was so at my bottom. So I went back the next week. And then I went back the next week after that. And the third time that I attended church, I responded to the gospel and gave my life to Christ. And I remember we went into the cafe of church after that, and I was praying the mm-hmm. salvation prayer, and I actually like felt, it was like the first time I'd experienced God. Mm. I had felt and saw with my own eyes demonic spirits like coming off of me.
Oh wow.
I felt like they were just holding me and like squeezing me, and I felt them leave when I was accepting Christ into my heart. And I'll never forget that. I was crying hysterically. Was looking back on it, a little embarrassing, but
no, that's a real thing.
Yeah, it's so real. I couldn't control it. Was so, and my life has radically changed. I will never be the same, and I've been growing in my walk with Christ since then.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful for Lindy and Vinny and for their faithfulness for inviting me.
Can you tell me about what was going through your mind when you got that invitation to come to church?
So I originally said no. I was like, church? We're not going to go to church. I was like, I haven't been to church because, again, like I said, I grew up going on Christmas. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, after being hurt from the Catholic Church, I hadn't been in years. Mm-hmm. I hadn't been going in years. So when they said we're going to church on Christmas Eve, I was like, I'm good. I'm good on that. I definitely don't. And then they bribed me with, well, we're going to go to dinner afterwards. And we're, you know, a lot of our friends are going to church, and then we might go to dinner after. And I was like, oh, all right, well, if everyone's going and you guys are going to go to dinner, I'll come.
So they peer pressured you into church.
They tricked me. And it was the best thing that's ever happened. I'm just really happy that they chose to do that, because it got me there.
You were friends with Lindy how before?
I grew up with Lindy. I've known Vinny longer, since we were five, kindergarten.
So they've seen you kind of through your really dark times.
The entire time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just took them to say, hey, come to church with us.
Yep. Once. They asked me one time. And I said no at first, but then they again bribed me. But
in a good way. I'm not going to condone bribery. But
correct. Yeah,
it was the best thing that's ever happened. So you basically haven't stopped coming to church since then?
No.
Yeah.
Very involved. I love it very much. Yes.
Yeah. So when did you realize that this was not just a feeling that you had at one service, but this is something that you wanted to carry with you for the rest of your life?
The moment that I gave my life, definitely. I hadn't felt anything like that before I was saved. Another way that I found my, like, what I thought was spirituality at the time was through nature. Mm. So I wanted to leave and move to Rocky Mountains, Colorado, just in Colorado, Denver, or wherever, because I thought that would, like, cure all my problems. At first, I did compare the feeling, because, again, I was clueless, the feeling of salvation and meeting God, and knowing that this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, I compared it to, I hadn't felt anything like that other than actually seeing and being at the top of the Rocky Mountains and seeing the mountains with my own eyes. And that's what it felt like. But that kind of like intertwined in that moment of salvation. And I understood like, oh, wow, God made that.
Yeah.
Like, what else can he do? You know what I mean? That was definitely the moment that I realized this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I want to serve God.
Yeah.
So
I haven't been to the Colorado Rockies, but I've seen the Canadian Rockies in person.
Oh gosh.
And it is an overwhelming beauty. And that's what you're using to describe this feeling that you had, but on a personal level as well. So it was this overwhelming beauty that you were just hit with in the heart. That's really cool.
I'll
so
never forget it.
How did your life change after that? And how did like family and friends say, Maria, you're different now?
It all kind of just started to continue deteriorating, I feel.
Okay.
In a good way. Like, it was like I was being pruned and the dead branches of my life were being removed. I lost a lot of friends, in which at the time I was like, why? I don't understand why you're not happy for me. Mm-hmm. I found God. Like, this is so cool. Like, why don't you understand? I didn't understand why they didn't understand, because, again, I knew nothing. So I lost a lot of friends because they were my party friends.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? I remember I continued partying for a little while after I was saved because I didn't know how to, like, it wasn't like I was saved and then I stopped everything.
Right.
God gradually took these people out of my life. Yeah. And I'm not blaming them, but they weren't really looking out for my best interest. But God started to remove the negativity and all of, like, the substance from my life. Slowly, and again, I started losing friends, family members. Some of them were super stoked for me, and some of them were confused.
Sure, yeah. Anytime you make a big life decision like that, mm-hmm. it's always going to be received with skepticism by yes. people. And some people, it's going to be received with excitement. But I think there's a lot of skeptics out there that are just like, okay, we'll see what's going to happen. Yeah, or sometimes people are even trying to get you to change your mind again.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
100%.
Yeah. But God has a plan for your life. Mm-hmm. And you're still figuring out what that plan mm-hmm. is in the long term, which I think we all are. Mm-hmm. If anybody has it all figured out, then I think you're in for a world of surprise when you realize that you don't. So, yeah, God was taking people away from your life.
And also bringing people
into your life.
Sure was.
And you didn't just get a church family, mm-hmm. but you got a different type of family as well.
Sure did.
So tell me about this guy that you met.
So it's funny you were saying as well, like my family always said, like, oh, she met God because she met Jordan, because Jordan grew up in the church and Jordan knew Jesus and everything. So it's funny because they still blame Jordan for the reason that I met God, but I met God before I met Jordan. But
you met Jordan because you met God.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I met all the glory to him. He's a sweet angel, but okay, sorry, God, not Jordan. So,
all the glory to God about your husband, Jordan.
Who's a sweet angel. There it is.
We go.
Okay.
So, and I concur as well. He's a great guy. He's a good friend.
He's a wonderful, wonderful man. So, basically, when Lindy and Vinny invited me to church, they had already been going to church as well. And Vinny had met Jordan. Mm-hmm. And they were very good friends. And then
they're both graphic artists and doing that kind of stuff.
Yes, lots of similarities, lots in the same industry, mm-hmm. film, photography, all that stuff. So Jordan started hanging around them, and I continued to hang around them after I was saved and everything. So we kind of all just hung out. And I mean, I knew immediately that I loved him, mm-hmm. but I didn't. I wasn't really focused on him at the time.
Yeah.
I was really focused on God, and I knew that God wanted me to be alone for a while mm-hmm. before anything. So I did have that time of just me and God and him being the man in my life before I met anyone else and, you know, pursued anything else.
Yeah, because as you said earlier, you've had some rough relationships in the past.
Yeah, really, really, really terrible.
Yeah.
Very, very terrible relationships.
And so God has brought a wonderful guy into your life mm-hmm. that really champions who you are.
Yeah. Thanks, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys are adorable together.
Thanks.
In a good way, not like a sickeningly sweet way, but no, truly they are adorable.
He's so sweet. I can't stand it. But yeah, so we all started hanging out, and then it was at Lindy and Vinny's wedding when mm-hmm. they got married. I was still partaking in alcohol. I did stop doing everything else, but I was still drinking because I didn't view drink. I literally, my dad was an alcoholic growing mm-hmm. up. I didn't view drinking as a non-normal thing. Like, it was just a part of who I was at the time. And so I was very intoxicated at Lindy and Vinny's wedding when Jordan still saw the real me through that and what I was capable of and what God was capable of doing it through me. Basically, he asked me to hang out, like, alone. So we went on a bike ride. I think it was a couple of days later. We went on a bike ride, and the bike ride kind of never ended.
Yeah.
I think we rode, like, 90 miles that day.
90?
Yeah, because we never wanted to stop hanging out. we rode
That's a long way.
We rode really, really far. We rode for hours. And it was a summer day. We started early, and we just kept going because we both didn't want to stop talking.
Yeah.
We just couldn't stop talking. I couldn't walk for like 3 days after.
Yeah, so. That'll mm-hmm. definitely, especially if you haven't built up to it, that's mm-hmm. that's a long bike ride.
Yeah, but Jordan, the man of God that he is, he saw what God was able to do through me, what God was doing through mm-hmm. me, and he saw me for who I was, and it was just something I wasn't used to. Mm-hmm. The kindness, the understanding, the gentleness. He prayed for me. He would do those things for me. I just never really, no one was ever that nice to me. Mm-hmm. In any of my relationships, so I wasn't used to it, and he still is that way, and I know because we built our relationship solely on God. Mm-hmm. And I'm not afraid to say this, but we were not intimate until we were married, so I know that that's a huge topic for someone who's not familiar with living their life for God, But I do believe that that was a huge thing for us too. We solely built our relationship on honoring God and mm-hmm. him being our number one and us being our number two to each other. Yeah, I don't know if I just bunny trailed or not.
No, that's good. That's good. I wanted to talk about that because you coming to church has changed your life mm-hmm. because somebody invited you. You met the Lord. You met your husband. You've found some calling and purpose mm-hmm. where you're using your musical gifts for the Lord. You're playing on the worship team mm-hmm. multiple times a month. You're helping with the youth. You are very much influencing people for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. You're somebody that especially a lot of younger girls look up to because you're adorable and you're artsy and you're fun and you find joy in life. And you and Jordan are like couple goals or whatever that hashtag is. And so being the fact that you work with youth, that kind of helps a lot. But that's not the only way that you influence people, because you've got this thing that most of us have. It's a cell phone. And on that, there's this app called Instagram. You might have heard about it. And you've been very effective with your Instagram account.
Thank you.
I have an Instagram account, and I don't have nearly as many followers as you do, because you're very effective with it, but you're using your influence for a positive change. Can you tell me about how you developed that influence, but also what you've been able to do to use your influence to help other people?
So I've always loved helping people, and I found it very easy to communicate with people and to help people through social media. Mm-hmm. I really feel like God has created my heart to be like very vulnerable. I don't want to say I care what people think, but I like really never really super duper cared what people thought of me. It's different in the people pleasing aspect. Like if I upset someone, if it's something that I did upset someone, then I would be like wrecked. But when it came to like what I was wearing, what I was doing, my tattoos, stuff like that, I never really cared what anyone thought because mm-hmm. I wanted to be everyone's friend. So if you didn't like me, then I'm really sorry, but we could have been friends, but you don't like me. So I've always felt like I always had a vulnerable heart, and Instagram, when it came about, kind of provided a platform to do that. Mm-hmm. And I really think that that is the reason that I grew so much, because I spent a lot of time interacting with friends on there that I'm still friends with, because mm-hmm. people essentially just want to feel. They want to feel something. Mm-hmm. And I really think that I just provided a place for them to do that safely and and they can be vulnerable and not be made fun of and not be judged. Because essentially the goal of social media, the secret mm-hmm. sauce, I guess, with social media isn't to like always be gaining followers. It's to keep the followers that you already have. Mm-hmm. So if they're coming to your platform and they're not getting anything out of it, then they're probably gonna leave. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure that they were getting not just like cute clothes or where to buy new shoes or where to get makeup or whatever. I wanted them to be able to feel and to feel safe and to know that they're not alone.
You're using Instagram for more than just posting a cute picture here
Correct.
And there.
Even though it is very fun to do that.
It is. Yes. It is.
But yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And Instagram has a kind of a reputation, or it's known for people putting just their perfect day pictures up there. Mm-hmm. How do you maintain your realness, your authenticity in a place where most people just put their highlight reel?
I honestly just try and be myself and be who God created me to be. Because it is scary. It is also very scary having a larger mm-hmm. audience and talking about God yeah. so much, because I have gotten a lot of hate as well, and a lot of, I don't want to say threats, but threats as well. Mm-hmm. But I would say just like not hiding who I am and not hiding when I'm having a bad day and not hiding behind the screen. If I don't have makeup on when I'm talking in my videos on my stories, then I don't have makeup on, and I'm going to continue mm-hmm. to let my acne show through and everything, because you know we're just human and yeah. we all have flaws and insecurities and stuff. And I, as Pastor Nick always says, the pastor of our church, he always says I believe that vulnerability builds others up. Mm. Well, the first time I ever heard him say that, that really really stuck with me, and I try to bring that into my platform
yeah
as much as possible.
People have actually responded to the gospel mm-hmm. because of what you've posted, and I think that is so cool.
Yeah, it wrecks me every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you mind telling me a little bit about some of those conversations and how people, I mean, people have started coming to church and their lives have been changed because of something you posted.
Yeah, that really, it really wrecks me to think about. I just try to, you know, people, again, like I said, are just trying to feel something. And I've had people message me and say, like, you seem so happy, you seem so, you know, content and everything. And I, you know, I tell them about joy. It's, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Mm-hmm. And I tell them about Jesus. And, you know, I've had people respond negatively. And I've had people be like, oh, wow. Even people that don't live around here say, like, okay, well, I'm going to try and find a similar church. And I've looked into some churches in their area and helped them, like, get to a church near them. And I've even gone to the extent of reaching out to the church and said, like, hey, there's someone who's going to be coming on Sunday. Yeah, I've done it a few times. Those people don't know, so sorry. But it just really...
No, that just shows that you really care.
Yeah, I do a lot.
I mean, being able... I mean, it's one thing to just say, hey, you can go check this church out. It's another thing completely to say to that church, hey, be looking and be ready for this person. I'm sorry that I can't physically be there, mm-hmm. but you being there, you can... represent Jesus and represent me there. That's really cool.
Thanks.
I mean, you just took that extra step of caring rather than just, oh, go to this church. That's awesome, Maria.
Each time that I've done that, thank you. Each time that I've done that, it has been God telling me to do that, because I remember my hand shaking, reaching out to a church and like asking, like, or telling them, mm-hmm. letting them know that that was happening. But each time that has been God directed.
Yeah.
So for him the glory. Give him the glory for that, not me. But yeah, I've met a lot of girls through Instagram who are, I don't want to say it, but I feel closer to through being sisters in Christ than, you know, friends I have and I've had all my life. It's, social media and Instagram has such a negative name for itself because of the highlight reel and the likes and the numbers and the all of that. But when you choose to use it for God,
yeah,
it's different.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you've asked any of these people if you could share their stories, but can you be vague enough or whatever? Can you share a little bit about people?
Yeah, she won't mind. She's amazing. So January of last year, I had a girl named Jessica reach out to me, and she actually, it's funny knowing her now, because she actually emailed me instead of DM me.
Okay.
She started the email with...
So she started an email as opposed to sending a message through the app.
Correct, okay. Yes. She just chose an email versus direct messaging me through the app. And at the beginning of the email, she started with, sorry, the direct message wouldn't have been able to hold everything that I have to tell you. Mm. It was paragraphs of an email, basically reaching out to me saying that she grew up in the church, but... she's from Pittsburgh, where I'm from, and she grew up in the church, and she had this boyfriend, and she really wanted to come back to God, and she's really feeling pulled to reach out to me and tell me her story and talk to me and figure out like what her next step was. And she was really looking for someone to pray for her as well. Mm-hmm. And we kept talking and talking, and then I invited her to church. Her and her boyfriend, Nick, had come to church. And it's funny.
So was that the first time you guys actually met in person?
Yeah, we've never met in person. Yeah, that was the first time. And I remember it just being really cool. Nick didn't know God and Jess did, but ran from him.
Sure.
And they're not going to care for me telling this story, just so you know. But Jess ran from God. And yeah, so we just had our friendiversary in January. And, I mean, Nick's on the worship team. She's...
Wait. Okay, yeah. So you guys met a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or she sent you the email a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she sent you this email. She comes to church with her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He gets saved. He was not a Christian before.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Not
she
at all.
She commits her life to the Lord.
Yep, they both got saved.
They both got saved. I saw them both get baptized, too. Mm-hmm. That was really cool on New Year's Eve, actually. They've gotten married now, too.
Mm-hmm.
So in just 1 year...
A lot has happened
lot
to
has
their
happened.
Lives.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page here.
Yeah.
So tell me about what happened.
With them?
Yeah.
We all just basically became best friends. I mean, Nick and Jordan are very close. Me and Jess are very close. And they radically met Jesus. It's the same thing that happened to me. They both responded to the gospel in their own time. They mm-hmm. weren't in church during it. And both of them had beautiful, radical experiences with Christ, and their lives have been changed. I know that their lives are still changing because it is still very fresh for them, but I'm just so proud and so honored to be a part of their lives and to serve the kingdom with them. They're both amazing people, yeah. and their marriage is going to change lives. So it's really cool to be a part of their story.
Oh, yeah.
God is just so cool. He really is.
That is really cool. Mm-hmm. That is really cool. And you did the makeup for her wedding, yes?
I didn't do her makeup.
You didn't do her makeup.
No, okay. I did others. I did okay. everyone else's, basically, yeah. She has a friend who they had already agreed.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but, yeah.
One of those lifelong pacts
yes.
type of deal.
Yeah. Which I honor, obviously, yeah.
Obviously,
yes,
yeah.
definitely.
That's so cool, Maria, mm-hmm. that your obedience to be vulnerable and to be real on a platform that is not known for being real opened up your life to somebody who needed a friend, who more importantly needed Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm blown away that that can happen like that.
Me too.
Because
thank you.
You're thinking of the conversations that people have in comment sections of
yes.
of Facebook and Instagram. Most of the time it's bickering and arguing. Mm-hmm. And you're able to use this for the glory of God, mm-hmm. which is super cool. And you're still trying to figure out. You just had a major change in your life that you were very vulnerable about. Something that God was telling you to do, mm-hmm. Or actually rather to not do anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have like the long-term thing figured out or whatever, but would you mind just sharing a little bit about that? And
definitely.
Just what being vulnerable in front of other people has led to.
Definitely. As I told you in the beginning of this, I went to school for makeup and special effects makeup, and I kind of walked away from special effects. I wasn't really passionate about it. It was just something to do because I don't even know how I graduated high school. I didn't apply myself whatsoever. I was more concerned with just being friends with people than school. Mm-hmm. But that led me to cosmetic makeup. So since I was 18, 19 years old, I've been a makeup artist. Mm-hmm. And I chose that career without God. I chose that for myself. I think that he honored it. He used it for his glory, mm-hmm. for the time that was needed. Mm-hmm. Because now I've been listening to his voice, and I've heard the word from him for about a year and a half, almost 2 years now, that I need to stop doing that and stop being a makeup artist. And it's definitely one of the hardest things I've ever done, to walk away from a passion, to walk away from something that I've known mm-hmm. since I'm 29 now. So for 10 years.
10 years.
10 years of being a
professionally, that's a lot.
Yeah, definitely not an amateur in it. Not to toot my own horn, but God has definitely blessed me in that area. Yeah. He's blessed my hands. He's blessed my creativity in it.
I've seen your work. You actually worked at a TV station with me
yeah, I did.
for a little bit right before you guys got married. Mm-hmm. And so I know firsthand that you do very good work.
Thank you so much.
So,
yeah, so to...
You're not tooting your own horn by saying that at all.
Thank you. I really feel like he's calling me to something else. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my purpose in him and my purpose of serving the kingdom lies in not just one career. Mm-hmm. For me, I think it lies in a bunch of different things, and I'm willing to do whatever he wants me to do. I want to be obedient to whatever he wants, and right now he wants me to stop mm-hmm. being a makeup artist. I've heard his voice very clearly. Very, very, very clearly.
Yeah.
More than I've heard.
Now. Yeah.
He's actually like whispered into my ear, and I've heard his voice.
Wow.
And I know that doesn't happen often, but I would actually love to tell that story if I can.
Yeah, please do. That was going to be kind of my next question is about hearing God. You were just talking about hearing God speak to you mm-hmm. or God whisper to you. I want to hear more about that, but what was the first thing that you remember God speaking to you, and how did that change your life?
The first thing I've ever heard him say, because I truly believe, and God has shown me this, that you can hear God in many different ways.
Absolutely.
You know, you can hear him through, you know, music and everything mm-hmm. like that, but I also think with our senses we can hear him differently. Mm-hmm. People that write really well, that know God, say that they like write down on pages and then they pull back and they don't even know what they just wrote. Mm-hmm. And I can sometimes I hear him in my heart, I hear him in my head, I hear him in my hands, I hear him in different ways.
Yeah.
And the first time I ever heard him say anything to me, I remember, I'll never forget it. I heard him say, "You're mine." Mm. And it was in a time where I was struggling with temptation and thinking like, okay, well, I have just been abusing substance my whole life. So it was a time of doubt. It was a time of, because, you know, we all have those too. Like, but God pulled me back from it and said, "You're mine." And he stopped me from doing something I shouldn't have after I was saved. Mm. And it was beautiful. It was really beautiful. So
that's definitely something that stands out to you.
I'll never forget it.
You'll never forget it. Mm-hmm. But that's not the last time that God has spoken to you. Mm-hmm. And he's spoken to you many times since then. Mm-hmm. But you just mentioned about God whispering to you that it's time to not be a makeup artist anymore.
Yes.
What was that like? How did you hear God with that? What did that whisper sound like, I guess? Or how did you know that that whisper was God? And how did you confirm that?
The first time I heard him speak to me, whisper it to me, was when I was doing a wedding. I was doing makeup on the bride. And I kind of felt him in my heart. I didn't hear his voice. I more so like felt his voice in my heart. I know that sounds really crazy, but something felt wrong. And doing makeup, it has always felt right. Mm-hmm. It's been such an honor to do the bride's makeup on her wedding day.
Yeah.
But when I was doing her makeup, I remember who it was. I mean, she was so sweet. She didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. But it was something, it was God telling me, like, this is wrong. Like, something feels wrong. A couple weddings after that, like, every wedding I've done, because I'm a wedding makeup artist, cosmetic wedding makeup artist. Every wedding after that kind of just felt the same. It was almost like I was losing passion. Mm. And then I heard him again and again and again and again. And I honestly kept ignoring it. I was like, this is me. It's not him. It's God. It's not God. Yeah. It's me. Because, you know, we struggle with that as well, deciphering if it's my own voice or if it's God's voice.
Oh, yeah.
And I ignored it for about a year. And then he just stopped speaking.
Mm.
He stopped speaking to me altogether. And it was a very, very confusing. I remember crying out to him, like, what am I doing wrong? I couldn't figure it out. I almost felt like it was the same feeling I had before I knew him. I was like, where are you? Mm-hmm. And then I realized he didn't move. I was the one that wasn't being obedient to what he says. And again, our pastor at our church always says, if you can't hear God's voice, go back to the last thing that he said to you. And so Pastor Nick had said that at a church service, and I realized that it's because I wasn't being obedient is why he stopped speaking to me. So not only was I hearing his voice, but then I also felt what it was like to not hear his voice again. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, I don't want this. Like, oh my gosh. So then I started to pray and pray and pray, and it got really scary, but then I started talking about it, because this is also something I went through alone. I didn't tell anyone about. I didn't even tell my husband about it. Mm. I just went through it alone because I didn't want to face it, because it's all I've ever known, you know?
Right,
just
being a makeup artist. How you make a
my
living.
Money. Yeah. Exactly. It's how I support my family. It was really scary, but I started to talk to people about it. I started to talk to my husband about it. I started to talk to, you know, my friends at church about it, my family about it, and it kind of all just started to make sense. I feel like God started to honor that. Mm-hmm. And then the experience that I had where, because prior to that, again, I was just really confused. Is this my own voice? Is this my instincts? Is this God? Very confused of what, because it's a really big life change and a life choice. This wasn't like, so.
This is not I'm bored with this. I want to do something different.
Correct. This was, you love this very much. Yeah. This is all you've ever known, and I want you to give it up for me. And I just didn't know if that was really him or if it was me saying that. So I was at the Overflow Conference. It's the women's conference that our church holds every year. And I was only able to make it to one day of it, which is ironic because I couldn't make it to the second day because I had a wedding to do. So I made it to the Friday night part of it. And I was sitting there, and I was praying while worship was going. And I had my knees on my hands. I'll never forget it. I heard his voice, like an actual, it's so crazy to explain. Mm-hmm. The inside of my own head, I didn't hear my voice. Because you know when you talk to yourself, inside your head, it's your voice.
Right.
It was a different voice inside of my head, and it wasn't something that I thought. It wasn't a thought. Mm-hmm. It was a voice in my head that spoke. And he said, you can do it. I know that sounds really like guidance counselor poster in high school, like, you can do it.
Yeah.
But I knew what he meant. And as soon as I heard him say that, you can do this. And I think he meant, like, you can do this for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just reminded of scripture, you know, I can do all things through what God wants us to do.
Mm-hmm. Through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah.
Exactly, for what he wants us to do, not exactly. All things that scripture is really...
It's taken out of context a lot.
Taken out of context a lot, but...
It looks great on a pillow that's been quilted, but correct. Yeah. There's, you can do there's all more things. To the context of that, yeah.
Exactly. So ever since I heard his voice in that moment, I didn't look back, and I announced that I was not going to be a makeup artist anymore, and I was giving it up, and he has been moving in my life since then. Now, I don't know the answer. I don't know what I'm going to do to provide. I don't know at all, but to be honest, when I thought about that before I heard his voice right there, in that moment at Overflow, I was scared and I was nervous and my faith was just not there.
Yeah.
And after I heard his voice, it's just, now I'm excited. I'm excited to see what he wants me to do. I know he'll provide. I'm not worried. I'm really, really, really excited for what he has next for me, because a career doesn't define me. And I think that is another reason why he's removing this from me, because I defined myself as a makeup artist. That is who I was.
Mm.
That's what I was. And he said, no, you are a servant of God. You're not a makeup artist. Like, that's just, and it's so cool. And
yeah.
I'm just so
it's
honored.
Not who you are. It's what you do.
Correct.
Or it's what you did. Until
correct.
If God tells you to do it again, I know you'll be obedient
yes.
with that. But at least for this season, however long it might be, you're being obedient with what God has told you to not do.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's a good thing. I know wonderful makeup artists. They're very gifted and talented in that. And I know it's really hard to step away from something that make a good income doing that. More than just the income, too. Working in TV, I've become very appreciative of makeup artists.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they're doing, and I see the direct results of it on my TV show, is that you're not just making somebody look pretty. You are helping paint the canvas that God put on their face.
Correct.
And you are accentuating what God has already put there to help them feel more like the person that God has designed them to be.
Correct.
And actually just this last week we had Miss Pennsylvania on the program. And our makeup artist did some little thing that brought out her cheekbones even in another way. And she was so excited.
Aww.
And she saw herself in a different way.
Yep.
I mean, she's this gorgeous girl who's Miss Pennsylvania. Like, literally,
right.
She was in the Miss America contest.
But one thing like that.
One thing like that. And you can do that on the canvas that God has created on somebody's face. So
exactly.
I really appreciate all that.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to say, I'm going to lay the money down, and I'm going to lay down this experience, because being obedient to what God has said for me to do is more important than that.
Mm-hmm.
And being obedient in God and being in God's presence is so much better than being disobedient.
Correct.
And having the things of this world.
Yes, 100%.
Even if those things are good.
Yep.
It's better to be obedient with that. I definitely appreate makeup artists in a new way.
Since a lot. I feel like most makeup artists are overlooked in that area. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think one of those things that you're very good about that with makeup is the fact that you see those things in other people that they don't see in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to kind of pull that out. And now God's calling you to do that in a different way.
Exactly.
Without a brush.
That's why it's so exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so exciting.
And you're still figuring out exactly how God's having you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you said you're 29 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You're married with a puppy. And but as you look back at your life to this point, where do you see Jesus walking with you and that burning in your heart that you didn't realize until you look back? Like, right now, you can look back and you say, God was right there. I just wasn't aware of it.
There's so many different ways, because I've analyzed this in
so many ways.
Yeah, there's so many different areas. I mean, with my father's stroke, was a huge... God was holding our hands through that whole time, through the decision of being a makeup artist and using that as my career. I know he was in that, and he used that after I was saved, like I told you before. After I was saved, he used that for him as well. I would ask a bride I've never met if I could pray for her on her wedding day. She's getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, like, I just did your makeup, and this might be weird, but, like, can I pray for you? And I've had a few people like, oh, my gosh, like, yeah, of course. And when I'm done praying, the Holy Spirit moves so much, I look up, and they're crying, and I'm like, stop crying, your makeup's gonna come off. But he used that as well. He honored that. He used that as an opportunity to pray for brides and pray for people and be a light in the world, you know,
mm-hmm.
and use, like you were saying, my hands and my creativity to make them feel good and yeah. make them feel beautiful, you know, not just look beautiful, but feel beautiful.
Right.
Because there's something about that. So in many different ways, he's definitely shown up. I would say, I'd say the biggest one would be my father's story, though, my father's mm-hmm. stroke, because like I was telling you, I was mad at God. Mm-hmm. And I look back on it, and he saved my dad's life.
Mm.
He like
how so?
He was a raging alcoholic, and I asked my dad recently if you wouldn't have had your stroke, because he can't drink now.
Mm.
It was taken away from him. He's on so many medications.
Right.
He's like I said, a speech impediment. He mm-hmm. has mobility issues because it was a massive, massive stroke. I asked my father recently, if you didn't have your stroke, do you think you would still be drinking? And he said yes.
Hmm.
He drank for a really, really long time, and I don't think he would have been able to let Jesus into his heart, because my dad is saved now, and he Amen. Comes to church with me, and he got baptized, and he actually, for the first time, he kneeled down at the altar on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And kneeled there for like 20 minutes while during worship. He just came up and I just can't, when I looked at him, I was like, I can't believe that's my dad and where we are. I was on stage playing guitar. It was so emotional. So emotional. But God was with me that whole step of the way, every step. Even though I didn't see him, I didn't feel him, because I wasn't choosing to, you know. It's not that he wasn't there, I wasn't open to him, and he was with me the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the whole plan. It's just crazy to look back on it.
It's amazing how God's never left us.
Mm-mm.
He's never left us in the past, and he's never going to leave us. And I love that passage in the Bible that this podcast is based around, the Emmaus Road story. The disciples are walking with Jesus, but have no clue that it's him.
Mm-hmm.
And when they finally realize that it's Jesus, after he breaks the bread and blesses it, and he's gone, they turn to each other and say, weren't our hearts burning? We should have known. We should have known that this was Jesus the whole time, but we just didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Jesus is always there
mm-hmm.
with us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other questions that I love asking is, in your timeline, in your 29 years that you've been walking on this earth, and you've made 29 trips around the sun, if you could go back and visit yourself in the past, maybe 14-year-old Maria, what advice would you give yourself, and what's going on in your life?
Honestly, I've considered this question before. If I could tell myself one thing, I would probably tell myself about Jesus,
mm.
to be honest, because I don't really think anyone ever did.
Mm.
I'm not blaming
that
on anyone, but I didn't know you could have a relationship with Jesus. Mm. I didn't know this, and that's why it's so crucial to not say no for people whenever we're sharing the gospel. And that's why I feel so confident, God's confidence, in sharing on social media, even though I do receive a lot of hate
mm-hmm.
as well for sharing. But because we can't say no for people, and I feel like that's why we like hold back from sharing mm-hmm. the gospel. But I would probably, if me now could go back to old Maria, I would be like, there's way more to life than this,
mm-hmm.
than finding your identity and career and clothing and boys and substance abuse and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I would probably tell myself about Jesus and who he was yeah. and what I know now.
There's people that are listening that are in those shoes right now.
Yeah.
And there is somebody out there that mm-hmm. needs to hear what 14-year-old Maria needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You minister to a lot of those, that age group right now in youth group. What is it that you most needed to hear at that point in your life?
The thing I most needed to hear was that I had a friend, like a real friend, because God is our friend. Jesus is our friend, a friend that will never leave you or forsake you, because trying to find purpose and trying to find love in people and relationships and clothing and my school grades and all that stuff. All that stuff runs dry. It's all temporary happiness. When I tried to back then, and when we try to in general, find purpose and love in the worldly things, they always let us down. When we try to find love within ourselves and our flesh, we're always let down. But God doesn't run dry. He doesn't run out. And his love goes beyond our understanding. I would have really wanted to hear back then that God loves me, that someone loves me. Because when I couldn't even love myself, or I couldn't even look in the mirror, or I couldn't stand myself, or nothing I did was ever good enough for people. And because you find acceptance, the moment you find acceptance in man, again, is the moment that you're just let down. So finding my acceptance in Christ, because, you know, no matter what, he loves me. To have known that at a young age, and to believe that at a young age, and to be intimate with Christ and give and serve at that young age, it really just like catapults you into your relationship with God. Because I've only known God now for like for 4 years now, and I really wonder what my life would have been like if I was obedient. And I know this is my story, but if I can tell someone at a young age like that about Jesus the way that I didn't hear about it, I want to be able to provide that for them with no fear, you know? Because back then, I literally thought God and Jesus were two different people. Like, that's how much I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What I'm hearing is that you just needed to know God's love. Correct. In a real way.
Yes, God's
You needed to know God. Yeah, his unconditional love. But you needed to know God in a personal way, in that relationship. And I don't know who's out there listening to this episode right now, and you can have that same relationship with Jesus that Maria and I have been talking about. You can know the love of the Father. He's the Father to the fatherless. He's the friend to the friendless.
He loves
us with an unending love.
Yep.
He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the one that's going to pick you up whenever you're falling down. He doesn't want to wait for you to clean yourself off before he'll accept you. He's going to accept you at your lowest, at your worst, wherever it is that you might be. He knows right where you are, and he's just waiting for you to say, "Help, I can't do it on my own." And when you say, "I can't do it on my own, and I'm not going to fight you anymore, Jesus," he reaches down, he picks you up, he embraces you. And when we say, "Jesus, forgive me of all of my sins. I have rejected you, but I am receiving you right now. I receive your love and your grace and your forgiveness, and I am going to live for you from now on. I am going to follow you, let you be the leader of my life," then he will restore your identity that he has designed, the identity that he wants you to have, which is your true identity, not the fake things that we've tried to hold on to, the fake things that we've looked for our purpose in. God has put a purpose and a destiny in each person listening. Actually, whether you're listening or not, God has that for you, and you just need to receive that love. And Maria, I love what you were just talking about, and to see the change in your life. I've only known you, you know, since you started coming to the church, and most of the time, you know, kind of from a distance, because we go to different campuses. But I've seen how the love of Jesus, the love of Christ, is all over you, and how you show that to other people, how you represent Jesus through your social media, but also through your daily interactions with real people. And oftentimes those people from social media become real people in your life.
Yes.
They're not just a screen name. Praise God. They're not just pictures on a screen.
Yep.
That's such a cool thing.
So cool.
It really, really is. Maria, what is a life verse for you that's kind of like an anchor that you just hold on to in the tough times?
Philippians 4, 10 through 13. "But how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, or with plenty or little. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And you're in a place right now where you're trying to figure out what that next season of life is.
Definitely.
But you're enjoying the journey. And
100%.
Maria, when I look at you, I don't see a woman that is afraid of her future.
Thank you.
I see somebody that, I believe it's in Proverbs 31, the woman that looks at the future and is able to smile or laugh because you have the confidence that God is leading your steps. Mm-hmm. Maria, thank you so much for allowing me to join you along your way.
Thank you so much. It's an honor and true honor, and it's an honor to serve with you.
Maria was in a very dark place in her life, surrounded by negative influences and bad decisions, but God didn't leave her there. All it took to start that turnaround was a simple invite to church from a friend. As she mentioned, we shouldn't say no for other people. Too often we project onto others that they don't want to be bothered, or that they would probably say no anyway. But we need to at least ask or invite people into our lives and let them be the ones to make their own decisions. Maria's friends invited her to church, and that made all the difference in her life. They didn't have to have all the answers or a doctorate level degree in theology. They just simply said, hey, come with us, and we're going out to eat later. I know I need to get better at this as well. What does it hurt to invite someone into our lives, especially if they could have the opportunity to meet Jesus? What's the worst that could happen? They say no, think that you might be weird for a few moments. But what's the worst that could happen if we don't invite them to come with us and say no for them? A life away from God. And that's not something that I want for my friends. When Maria met Jesus, she started to discover her true identity and her true worth. I hope you find that in your life too. I've been working as a TV producer for a while, and I have even worn makeup a number of times when I've needed to be on camera. My opinion of makeup has really changed over these years because I see what it can do for a person. I used to think that makeup was, well, a silly thing, but I've seen what it can do for the person who wears it. Many times I have watched as the makeup artist that I work with look at a guest's face and see something there that the person doesn't see themselves. When it's done right, the natural highlights and features of a face are accentuated in a positive way, and that results in confidence that's fun to see. It's not about wearing a mask, but sometimes a little makeup done in the right way can make the real confidence of a person shine. I know there are totally times that makeup is used to cover up flaws, imperfections, and even create an appearance that isn't real, but that's not what I'm talking about here. Jesus sees the real you, and he wants you to see yourself the way that he sees you too. Sometimes he likes to highlight a few things that we don't see in ourselves, but they just need a little bit of his help to pop. When you accept his identity for yourself, then who God made you to be can shine through as well. I'm so encouraged by Maria's story and how she is a positive influence and a friend to many people online. The fact that people have come to know Jesus because she has talked about her relationship with God and how much her church family has made a difference in her life is amazing. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that they overcame the evil one by the blood of the Lamb, or the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and the word of their testimony. Our testimony is powerful, and as you share it with others, it is incredible what can happen. Be real, be open, and be ready for God to use your story too. If you'd like to connect with Maria, I'll let her share how.
And on Instagram, I'm maria.layton, L-A-Y-T-O-N. That is my middle name. And that's basically all that I have. I don't really have any other social media platforms. I really can't stand Facebook. I don't have Twitter or anything like that. But I'm also open to emails, marialaytonmakeup@gmail.com, which I will be changing as well with all of that. But I'm open to any emails. It can start friendships, as we've talked about. So, yeah.
Thank you for listening to Along the Way. If you've enjoyed joining me along my way, please share this episode with a friend who you think will be encouraged by this podcast. Also, please rate and review Along the Way on iTunes. That will help more people discover Along the Way. And subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and at my website, alongtheway.media. I hope that you've enjoyed this part of my journey, and may you realize when Jesus is walking with you along your way.